Welcome to PCMC Pop Culture Man Children. I'm your host, Mike Buongiorno. Pop Culture Man Children is a podcast that comes out every week. We come out on Wednesdays around 5 a.m. All right? So, I want to make sure you got it for your commute.
All right, it's free, so the government can't cut our budget.
Absolutely, absolutely. The big, beautiful bill ain't going to affect us. I'm here. You heard his voice already. The great, the powerful, Mr. Vin Forte. Vin!
Oh, man. You know, it feels good.
It feels good, was what he said. You got to come up with a thing to say when I say your name. This is like, it's like that, do you ever see that sketch from I Think You Should Leave? Where it's like a game show with like a mascot, but the mascot doesn't know what to do. And he's like, you got to figure out what you do. Like the mascot comes out and like hits the guy's hat off his head. And he's like, oh, why are you doing that? He's like, this is what you, what do you do?
You wanted this.
You had all summer. But Vin, we are happy. We are happy to see you. Well, no one sees you but me, but we're happy to hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Vin, I don't even know when we started this journey because I looked at, we've done so many episodes, over 400 now, that I keep them on hard drives instead of on my computator. So on my computer, I don't have my hard drive hooked up right now. So on my computer, I looked up like 2 years ago around this time, we did Star Trek V. Which means wow. We've been on this journey for
maybe like 3 years.
A while, right? We've done every Star Trek movie, and here we are. We're with the last one as of now, unless you count that weird TV movie that was really a pilot that didn't go, yeah, so they just called it a movie.
Yeah, we're not gonna watch
that. No, we're not gonna watch that. Star Trek Beyond from 2016, directed this time by Justin Lin, who did a bunch of the Fast and Furious movies.
Now this one. What a way to end, because I've been waiting for this one the entire time, because I recall when we saw this in the theater together, you were not really high on this one.
But
you also weren't as into Star Trek as you were now.
Yes, that's true.
And very true. At the time, I was obviously like really still really into Star Trek and had been my whole life and was like, I really liked the direction they took this movie, because it now feels like out of the three they did, it felt like different sort of lanes of Star Trek, where it's like the first one's like kind of action. Next one's like sort of political intrigue. And this one,
like an away mission,
is like a big away mission.
Yeah. Well, Vin, you'll be pleased to hear that I watched it last night for the first time since I first saw it with you in a theater. And I liked it so much more than I did before.
Yes.
I don't know what, maybe I was in a bad mood when I saw it. I don't know. I remember thinking, like, it's trying to be too jokey, but I didn't feel that way at all last night. I really enjoyed this. I still don't know if it's my favorite of the new trilogy.
I think the first one is still my favorite. Because
probably me too.
Yeah, because it's just, it came so out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And was just so rock solid. And really, like, it did, it's the movie, I don't think it gets enough credit, for setting, I mean, we talked about it in that episode where it set the tone for like this, I don't know if you'd call it like soft reboot era, but like the whole, like, we're going to do a sequel years in the future, but also we're going to make it for a new audience.
Yeah.
And I don't think any movie since that one wrapped it up, like tied the past and the present in so well.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. No, you see the DNA of this on Discovery and Strange New Worlds and the stuff we do now. I mean, they created the Kelvin timeline, so they literally changed canon. But also stylistically, you know, I think it's still, this stuff still looks like this. I just, in November when Trump won, I rewatched all of Strange New Worlds. I talked about this recently because I needed to imagine a future. And, you know, Strange New Worlds, you know, it's a different ship than this, but it looks very similar.
Yeah.
Although we should say this film, directed by Justin Lin and produced by J.J. Abrams, the first two, Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, are directed by Abrams. And this movie, I think, is really well directed. I think it's not as flashy in that J.J. way, but it is somewhat flashy.
It's not as flashy, but it is in some ways a little more dynamic.
Okay. And my critique, you might recall, of the last two is that there's this big like strain of like, this ain't your daddy's Star Trek. Yeah. And Kirk being like, he's the fucking coolest dude ever. And he fucks all the bitches. Like this movie, first of all, he's got the part. He looks like original series Kirk. And this movie actually feels like, maybe not the original series, but it feels like the original series of films. Like this feels like similar to, you know, Wrath of Khan or Search for Spock, or like, especially in the way that they pair people off and everybody gets something to do.
Yes.
Which is what they did in the other films. Like everybody, like of all the three of these, Uhura's got shit to do, Sulu's got shit to do, Chekhov's got more to do than ever, Scotty's got more to do ever. I mean, it could be part because he wrote the script, but everybody's got stuff to do. There's a beautiful alien in it named Jayla, and I kind of didn't remember the story, and I was like, does he hook up with her? And he doesn't. Kirk does not hook up with her, and I feel like even in the old days, that would have happened. He would have, like, found a way to kiss her in the end, but that just doesn't happen in this. He's not, of these three movies, and this is the one where, like, there's no, like, weird sort of crowbar in reference to Kirk Fox. Yeah. Like, it's not, like, Kirk, like, this, these characters feel like the original characters more than the last two films make them feel like the original characters.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like, everyone gets something to do. They all get paired off in interesting directions, and they all come together, and like the plot threads make sense. If there is a weak point, I guess like the villain is a little weak, but like I'm fine with it.
Because I
like all the other stuff around it. I like the Yorktown like floating.
Yeah, I like that
Mario Galaxy world.
I wrote down the same note. I was like, this has got Mario Galaxy gravity logic.
Yeah.
And like, also like Halo.
Halo as well. I like the opening set piece after they get through the like the great stuff about like, oh, we're on this 5-year mission and kind of taking its toll.
I love that. Like he's bored. He's kind of like, it's the same shit every day for 5 years. Nothing happens. You know, in the beginning, Kirk is kind of like, I don't know what I want to do in my life. He's kind of like stagnant. It's going to be his birthday, which is something you saw in the old films a lot.
Yeah.
And then Spock is also trying to figure out what he wants to do because old Spock dies and that's making him feel his mortality. And, you know, this is the Kelvin timeline. So there isn't a Vulcan. There's like a place called New Vulcan. And he's thinking about maybe he should leave Uhura and be with a Vulcan woman so they can produce more Vulcans. So both of the two like main characters are kind of like thinking about leaving Starfleet. And then, I mean, we can bounce around. I think in a lot of these films, the Enterprise is destroyed. Almost like, okay, the Enterprise is destroyed. They'll rebuild it. This is such a good Enterprise destroyed sequence.
You have like the nano robot?
The visual.
It's so good.
I mean, Star Trek is around for how long? And to serve you up something that's visually new is so hard to do. But these villains that are like, they swarm. They're tiny little ships that work together like a flock of birds. And they swarm and they literally rip through the ship like shrapnel. Mm-hmm. And then some parts of it like will jam into the ship. And then you'll see inside the ship. And then the part that's inside opens up and then they come out. Like that's how they like violently dock. They don't go into, it's almost like a rape metaphor. Like they don't go into any dock. They just rip through the ship and then come in that way. And I also like how brutal it is and how fast it is. Like, like in like 5 seconds, they're like totally all dead and fucked. It's so interesting. It's so good.
And then they're basically like lost. They're on a new planet.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the ship, which means they don't have communications.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they've just got to deal with it. Which is classic Star Trek, but I guess like they do a good, not bait and switch, but like you go into this movie thinking like, okay, they're on the ship, they're gonna do ship space adventures, and they go, no, we're taking the ship away.
Yeah.
we're not going to destroy the ship at the end of the movie. We're destroying it at the beginning of the movie. So they're not going to get back on the ship, at least until the end of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an away mission. And I like the way they pair them off. You have Scotty is alone, and then he meets this alien woman, Jayla, who lives on this planet that they land on, which is where the bad guy's kind of stationed. But she's a rebel. She's not with the bad guy. They're together. And she's, I think, interesting. She's the actress that ended up being in that awful Mummy movie.
Yeah.
So that may have, I don't know. She seems to work, but I can't imagine that did anything good for her career.
Yeah. Speaking of named people in this movie, you know who had a cameo in this movie?
Who?
Jeff Bezos.
What?
As like a creature, as like an alien.
Did they need makeup?
Yeah, they had him in makeup. I think it was like
a fuck this movie then. I don't like this movie anymore.
Star Trek has a weird thing about like kind of like name dropping and betting on the wrong horse. Like, I don't know if you remember.
He was probably just a tech bro then, right?
Probably just a tech bro then.
They were like, you're like, cool.
But it's like, I don't know if you ever saw the clip from Star Trek Discovery where they're talking about like visionaries throughout history and they're like, something, the Wright brothers.
God.
Don't say so-and-so. Elon Musk.
Like, fuck.
They're like, yeah, the Wright brothers. They're going to go down just like the Wright brothers, Zefram Cochran and Elon.
Elon Musk. Yeah, because the Wright brothers found a guy who created flight and then bought it from him and then said, we created flight because I bought it from you.
Yeah.
That's how fucking they went.
That's how history works.
I fucking hate him.
If anyone's ever seen
that is a weird cameo. Yeah. I did not realize he was in there. That was probably like real looking. Like now he's like weird Jack Lex Luthor. Jeff Bezos, he probably looked like a human at that point still.
Yeah.
He got married recently, and I don't know if you've seen any like the memes that are like the amount of money, like what could have been done with the money for his wedding.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like the amount of people he could have fed just with the money from his fucking wedding. Oh, boy. Corporation.
Billionaires, am I right?
Am I right? We should eat them. All right. So, you really threw me for this. So, this movie has a MacGuffin in it, which is this like thing. It's doodad that Kirk has. And it begins with him like having a meeting with these aliens. And he's like, to broker peace with you, I'm giving this to you. And they're kind of like, well, what is it? Where did it come from? And it's a kind of funny bit where like, it's kind of like a forced perspective thing. Like Kirk is down in the, like in a sort of like theater or not like a theater, but like a,
an amphitheater.
Kind of. Yeah. 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 And the aliens are up high on balconies and they're talking. And then the alien's like, I'm coming down there. And he jumps down and you see the alien, which you thought was giant, is actually tiny.
Yeah.
And then they all jump on him. That's a fun bit. I enjoy that. I love a good alien. But then that's the thing that the villain wants, because the villain, it's not a terrible villain. There's obviously been worse villains. I'm looking at you, F. Murray Abraham, but it's kind of a, it's a little bit weak, right? Like he was
in Starfleet and he felt
he's mad at Starfleet.
Which is a Star Trek trope.
But yeah,
what it is. Like the villain is a means to great action scenes.
Yeah. And, you know, look, yes, he looks like a Star Trek villain. He's got a crazy face like a Star Trek villain. I think Idris Elba plays him really well. He performs his voice in this really interesting way where, he says everything super slow, like it hurts him to speak, which I thought was cool. I tell you, I completely forgot that he's not an alien, that there's a reveal towards the end of the movie that he was a human. He was a captain of a ship. Mm-hmm. And I guess he came across some. This is actually very close. Now I'm thinking about it, it's very close to F. Murray Abraham's character. He came up with a way to live forever, right? Isn't that what they did?
Yeah, it was the fucking the sauna.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they suck the energy out of people that are alive. Yeah, similar to that.
Yeah, Ruafo.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But, you know, whatever. It's cool. The planet that they're on is really cool looking. Idris Elba's always good. You know, at the. So they do that thing where, like, Uhura is, like, watching. They find another ship, an old ship that has landed on this planet. And it's, like, hundreds of years old, but it's still a starship. And they're, like, looking through its data, and they see, like, images. And, like, they do this thing where Uhura, like, keeps rewinding and rewinding and rewinding. And then you see it's, like, Idris Elba in the background. And I thought of that John Mulaney joke about Dean Cain.
Is that Idris Elba?
Is that Idris Elba? It's pretty cool.
Kane in that Star Trek footage.
I love Idris Elba. So yeah, what did you think about this? Okay, so the machine, the thing he wants, right? It's kind of like a little bit like Venom, I guess. I don't know. You put it inside another machine and then you turn it, and then like this inky like blackness comes out, and that like swarms through you and tears you apart. But I can't tell if it's clever or redundant that weapon seems to work the same way that their ships do, right? That they swarm together.
Couldn't they just stick their ships on people?
Say it again?
Couldn't they just stick their ships on people?
Well, it seems like they've already got the technology and the mindset of like the way we attack is by swarming you.
Right.
So like, were they basing that on this weapon? Like, why is it basically the same thing? Why do they need it? It's very MacGuffin-y.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big old MacGuffin.
People dislike the second one because of Khan. People don't like the way they handle Khan. People felt like you don't need Khan. I would probably say I like this movie. I've decided that I like this movie, but I would probably say that I would go in order in terms of my favorites of this year, of one, okay, two, and three. Although it's close. It's all good, these three. And we were hearing about four for a while. It's been, what, 9 years now? And still, every once in a while, you hear one little inkling about something. It's like, fucking do it, man. I'd love to do it.
Yeah, like, Quentin Tarantino was attached at one point. He had a script. Like, this was all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know why they did three. I mean, I imagine there was diminished returns. I don't know how well this particular one did. Maybe then they were just like, let's put all of our eggs in, like, the Paramount Plus basket.
Yeah.
And go back to TV. But I feel like this is such a solid crew. You could have won 12 more. You could have kept going. I mean, you did a reboot. It's up and running. Go with it. I mean, they never did a proper Klingon story with this crew.
No. You just got like a scene or two in the movie.
Yeah. There's a lot to do.
Remember when the trailer came out and everyone was like, fucking Kirk riding a motorcycle?
What I know.
This?
Yeah, Kirk rides a motorcycle in it. You know.
But in the context of the movie, like, I'm fine with it.
It's fine. Yeah. I mean, I think it's some ways trying to, like, wrap it back to the first one, because we see him, like, on a motorcycle as a kid listening to Sabotage by the Beastie Boys.
I was just about to say, we also get the third. It's like a thing they have to do in these movies where they find a way to play Sabotage.
Yeah.
Although I do like the way they do it in this, where they're like, play some like oldies. Basically, like, play some oldies.
Yeah.
Play some oldies.
Yeah. And there's, so it goes back to the first movie, but then like that's kind of referencing a famous like viral thing of William Shatner mispronouncing the word sabotage in like a voiceover. Yeah. Or I wouldn't. So I actually think that he doesn't mispronounce it. He says it wrong and then digs in and doesn't want to admit that he was wrong. He's like, it's sabotage, and the director's like, it's sabotage. You say sabotage? He's like, you say sabotage. I say sabotage.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a joke to that, but it's also like, J.J. Abrams loves the Beastie Boys. BB-8 from Star Wars is named after the Beastie Boys.
Yes.
There's also a character in Star Wars named L.O. Asty. After Hello Nasty. So there's always in JJ those references. But I also, you hear Jayla listening to Fight the Power by Public Enemy, which is fun.
Yes, that's really fun.
That's fun. You don't hear that typically in like this kind of thing.
No, like, it's like Do the Right Thing in Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah. In like the fifth movie, they're singing Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And in this one, they're listening to Fight the Power. Because why not? That shit would be an oldie too.
Yeah.
We're hundreds of years in the future.
Right. Like, that's the thing that people forget, is that it's supposed to be in our future. So it's like, we're not like this stuff that people are saying, oh, well, this is so out of character, out of context. It's like, but it happened already in our reality, in our present. It happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why wouldn't it be a thing that they could reference in our future?
Right. Why not?
Zefram Cochrane listens to fucking Roy Orbison.
Yeah, and fucking Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
So let me tell you, and I don't know if I can't remember if I brought this up in the last couple episodes, but let's talk about it now. The thing that ages the worst in these films, and I hate to be a negative Nelly, is Zachary Quinto's performance as Spock. Maybe he's just maybe it's not him. Maybe he was just miscast. I don't get what he's doing with his voice. He feels like he's doing a Mad TV parody of Spock rather than playing the character.
Do you think it's more that, or do you think that, because I don't disagree, but I think that now that we've seen Ethan Peck Spock,
yeah,
it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, no, this is how, if you're going to do
it. I agree. Spock. Ethan Peck, who plays Spock on Strange New Worlds.
He has like a range, like his Spock is like dynamic.
Does him much better, yeah. Zachary Quinto, I don't know, man. First of all, I've talked about this before. Why the high-pitched voice? Classically, Spock has a low-pitched voice. Is that meant to be like an inverted choice, or is it just you're just doing like a nerd voice? But also, it just, I don't know. It feels like a guy trying to pretend to not have emotions, which maybe that's what he is. Maybe he's trying to play a more human. But I don't know. A lot of it feels like corny jokes. Like it's like in this movie, Bones says something like, "Ah, that's horseshit," and he's like, "What does the feces of an animal have to do with what we're talking about?" And then of course, like later on, he's like, "That's horseshit," and it's like, "All right, well, like Spock was more than that in the fucking originals." Like,
right?
It's weird that in this series, Spock is boiled down to like the two things about him are he's sad because his planet died, and he tries to think about like what's gonna happen with his people, and his like interpersonal relationship with Uhura.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in the original series,
which shouldn't even exist. Let's.
It's a weird choice. It's always been a weird choice.
Again, also, it doesn't help that Strange New Worlds really drove home the already existing insinuation.
Yes.
Of him and Nurse Chapel,
which makes a lot of sense. But even in Strange New Worlds, like it's like a struggle. Like he kind of like it's a will they won't they. He kind of likes her, but doesn't admit that he likes her because he's engaged, which is classic, which is true from the original series. Whereas in this, well, they never talk about anything about him being engaged or any of that Vulcan shit. I guess maybe she died. It's all different, but I don't know. But no, even before Vulcan explodes in the beginning of the very first movie, he's got a relationship with Uhura.
Yeah.
And you're like, what does she get out of this?
Right. How did this happen?
Yeah. Like at the end, she's like, oh, don't you have files to do? And he's like, I thought socializing with you would be more enjoyable. And she's like, oh, you old romantic. And it's like, oh, fucking... What? Like this is the hot fucking relationship you have?
Yeah.
I prefer the hot and steamy insinuated relationship between older Uhura and older Scotty in some of those later movies where they're sharing potato chips or whatever.
Yeah.
No, that was always a weird thing. It also was weird because it made Uhura's character all about that. Except for this one. In this one, Uhura has much more to do. She has a bigger part. Let's talk about style a little bit. I don't know why or what reason or what the logic is behind it, but for some reason in this movie, they're all wearing super cool jackets. They all have like these Starfleet jackets that are kind of like bluish gray, but with yellow stripes on the
very much a nod to Star Trek Enterprise.
Is that what it is?
That's what I always took it to be.
Okay.
That's the Enterprise use.
Oh, okay. Okay. I never watched Enterprise, really. That's interesting. Yeah. It's just they're cool looking. The jacket work is great. I love the jacket work of this movie. So Yorktown is kind of... they don't set it up that well. Basically, like, it's...
It's like a starbase, but not?
Yeah, it's like a starbase, but it's also like a little city where, like, civilians live.
Right, it's like one of those, like, those towns that the military has.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, your family can live here.
Yeah. And kind of like Halo, like, instead of just having, like, one surface, it's, like, got all these rings, and then so, like, you kind of live 360. There's gravity that ties you down to, like, where you are, to whatever, I guess, wherever you are.
Again, it's Mario Galaxy.
Right. You, wherever, like, you can float in the middle, but if you go too far one way, you fall that way. If you go too far the other way, you fall that way. It's not totally set up, but at the end...
It is a cool set piece because they have a huge chase through it.
Yes. But, you know, that happens in this series. This series, these three seem to really, it's not all in space, right? When you think about it, like, more than, like, the average Star Trek thing, like, there's a lot of, like, just them in cities. Like, the last movie, the Into Darkness, has that whole bus Spock chase. And that's kind of this movie's version of it. But it's a very cool set piece because they kind of win, but then the villain's going away. And at this point, he's sucked up enough people's energy that he basically looks like Idris Elba. Mm-hmm. And he's got the MacGuffin, and there's like a glass room at the top of wherever in this city, planet, whatever it is, which is like, it goes into the air supply. So he's going to open up the weapon and put it through the air supply and kill everybody in Yorktown. I keep wanting to say Allentown. They kill everybody
in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
In Yorktown. So him and Kirk fight. They have a nice fist fight in there. And that's when you have fun gravity stuff. Like, I think Idris Elba jumps and he lets gravity like pull him towards the center. And then Kirk goes after him. He ends up being eaten by the thing. It opens, and then Kirk like pushes him into it. It's just a fun set piece. But that's the thing. All of these movies seem to have an ending and then a little bit more. Like, it could be over. Yeah. We won. We got back. We got into the ship. We got back. We're all back together. But the villain's running away. He's running away. Let's go chase him. Like, that seems to be in all of these.
But then they have like the nice kind of coda at the end where they or like epilogue where they sort of like in universe acknowledge Anton Yelchin.
How do they do that?
Well, because he has the toast where he's like to absent friends.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Which is a recurring thing in Star Trek because they did it in the original. They did it in Wrath of Khan. Then they do it in Star Trek Nemesis when Data dies.
Oh, right, because the actor died.
Yeah.
Pretty tragic, like very young, like super young. And he's great in this. He has so much to do as fucking Chekhov in this. He had been dead before the film came out.
Yeah, he filmed all of it, but like in between that and the movie coming out, he died. And then also Leonard Nimoy died before the movie came out, which is why we get the scenes of Spock being alerted that Spock Prime had died.
Right, right. This movie does an interesting thing where at the end, Zachary Quinto Spock is like, I guess he's looking through older Spock's stuff, and he finds like a space photo, like it's basically a photo, but of course it's like a
publicity photo.
Yeah, but it looks like a set photo of the original cast, like either during the Wrath of Khan or maybe like Voyage Home, whatever. They've got the maroon suits on. So it's the first time, I think, in the series that they show, like, actually show William Shatner and all the original crew, which is interesting. I wonder if they were gonna... Because Leonard Nimoy shows up for a cameo in that second movie really for no reason. There's no reason to have him. But they're like, here he is again. Where they use him so well in the first one.
Right.
I wonder if they were going to do that again and they were like, oh, well, he died, so we can't. Or if they weren't and they're like, well, he's dead, we should mention him somehow.
You know what's really fucked up is that if they did that today, there's at least like a 50-50 shot. They're like, well, we'll just put him in. We'll get like the AI technology.
Yeah.
We'll put him in this movie.
Now, maybe I'm misremembering. Was there ever a thing where like they talked about Shatner and he said no?
I think, no, Shatner wanted to be in those.
Oh, movies. He wanted to.
And they were like, we have nothing for him, so like we're not just going to put him in to put him in.
Okay. All right, so I had it wrong. So he wanted to be in it.
Yeah.
And then when it was announced that he was directing The Force Awakens, William Shatner called him a pig because he had done Star Trek and Star Wars. And he was like, well, what a pig.
People can't direct two different franchises.
Yeah, yes.
What do you think of, because... This is the one where they sort of hint that George Takei or that Sulu is gay.
It's more than a hint, but it's also like not super. It doesn't mean anything to the movie. Like we see, like they're on leave, and we see another guy come with a daughter, and then Sulu like hugs them, and it's like that's his family. I like the ongoing. I think it's cute, the ongoing thing where Jayla calls Kirk James T. Because Scotty introduces him as James T. Kirk, so she calls him James T.
James T.
Yeah, that's fun. That's fun. And again, I give you points for not having James T. fucking plant a kiss on her. You know, Star Trek loves a hot alien. I like the... We haven't talked about, like, the kind of obvious thing that gets them into the story, which is they get a distress signal from this one alien who's like, oh, my ship... we were in the nebula and my ship crashed and all my crew, can you help me? So like, ah, okay, sure. So they go into it and then they're immediately like attacked and the ship is all fucked up by those, the villains' ships, whatever. And she's kind of like, I don't know what's going on. And then when they get down to the planet, he points his blaster at her and he's like, you know, what is, were you in on this? What's going on? And she's like, no, I'm just, they told me that I had to bring you here. I'm just trying to save my crew. They said they would let me have my crew back if I brought you here. And then, you know, he's like, okay, well, the MacGuffin's on the ship. So they go to the ship. And then she's like, oh, you believe every sad story someone tells you? And then she opens. She should have waited to open the thing before saying that. Because she says that, then opens the container and there's nothing in there. And then... check what's behind you with a blaster or phaser, I should say, because it's Star Trek, not Star Wars.
Chekhov's gun.
Yeah. Oh, and but you notice you never for a second do you feel like you always know she's a double agent. You don't trust her from the get go.
No.
The way just the way that they frame her kind of feels like what exactly do you want? What do you need us for?
For this MacGuffin that you don't really know what it is either.
Yeah. It's like, were you one of the crew members of that ship? Why, as you got old, did you all turn into like looking like weird aliens? There is a cool alien though in it. There's a part where the ship is when everyone's going crazy and the ship is crashing, Kirk goes up to this like ensign. He's like, ensign, I need to talk to you. And she's like this very exotic looking alien, like kind of like green and stuff. And we just see that. And then later on, Scott is like, where'd you hide the MacGuffin? And he's like, it's hidden. Don't worry. And he's like, is it on a ship? He's like, not really. No. And then the villain goes, he's captured all of the ones that aren't our main characters. He's captured all of them. And they're like in a camp. And he's like, who has the MacGuffin? Tell me who the MacGuffin is. And he's going to like kill Sulu. And the green ensign, she's like, I know where it is. And like her head has like tendrils or whatever, and they open up and she was hiding it like on her head.
Yeah,
that's just a really cool visual, a really cool alien design that looks like makeup and prosthetics, not CG. And also it's a cool detail that, like, you know, it shows that Kirk is so resourceful, but also like he knows everyone on his ship. Like he knows the ensign's name. Like an ensign is nobody. So like it's just a cool, like, it's just cool that he really feels like Captain Kirk in this movie. Whereas in the first two movies, he feels like some frat boy that like got onto the Enterprise and for some reason they let him run shit.
Cause that's like, exactly what happened.
Yeah. Like in this one, he feels like a responsible adult. So I would love for them to do one now because he's a little bit older. They're all a little bit older.
Yeah.
So they're probably older than they were when they did the original movie series, of course, but these people all have nutritionists and trainers, so they probably look way better.
Yeah. No guts on these guys.
I know. Hollywood's so different now. Like, you would never, like, if they did that now, like, the way, like,
like, Scotty, you gotta go on Atkins or something.
Yeah, they would be like, oh, don't worry, the studio is gonna give you a trainer, the studio is gonna get you a nutritionist, don't worry, we'll take care of it. They would never let them all get fat.
Remember, like Carrie Fisher talked about when they were doing the sequel movies, that the people behind Star Wars and the studio were basically like, you got to get in shape. Like, we want you in this movie, but you got to like lose 20 pounds or whatever.
And she wasn't like that. She wasn't that big, really.
No.
But they were like, no, you got to be skinny. Great. I mean, the worst was Mark Hamill. He's in it. He doesn't have a line of dialogue. He's in it for 30 seconds. But like he went through like 8 weeks of fucking
training, like a boot camp just to
to fucking turn around and look. That's showbiz for you. You know who gets a lot of play in this movie? That weird little guy that hangs out with Scotty?
Oh, yeah, Deep Roy.
Oh, is that who it is, Deep Roy?
Yeah.
What's his character's name, though?
I sometimes I'll like see it, and I'll be like, oh, that's the name. And then it just instantly leaves my head. Like, I just don't.
Let me see. But first of all, I want to see what the name is, and I also want to know what Deep Roy is up to.
Yeah, what's Deep Roy up to in 2025?
The best name ever, by the way. Oh, shit. He played Yoda at some point? I guess long shot, like long shots where it's long not a shots, puppet?
Yeah.
Oh, what a career.
Oh, you said he played all the Oompa Loompas?
Keenzer. Yes, he's all the Oompa Loompas. Well, that was his big thing because you show his face.
Yeah.
Keenzer. That's his name.
Okay.
What's the last thing he's done? In 2019, he played a character named Dr. Love in a movie called Deep Into Love.
Wow.
Was this a self-financed project? Well, it's the official selection of the Maryland International Film Festival.
I was about to say, it sounds like a VH1 reality show.
It does, right? Deep Into Love is like, it's like his...
Pete Nielsen's going to date Deep Roy.
Yeah, like it's him in a house full of people that want to date him. A young man on a quest to win the heart of a young lady visits an eccentric love doctor.
Okay, what did you do? Where are like the last couple?
He's in something called God Came Around. He plays Sandeep.
Okay.
And then Star Trek Beyond. Star Trek Beyond, I think, is like the last big thing he did.
What's the last big thing before that?
Mantervention?
Mantervention?
Someone played... his name
is... TV show?
Massage Dad? What? That's his character's name, Massage Dad.
Who's been editing Deep Roy's Wikipedia?
It looks a little bit like... It's not, but it looks a little bit like... those, remember those like straight to DVD American Pie,
yeah, like Band
National Band Lampoon's or... movies, yeah, where it's like hot babes and like corny, quote unquote, offensive jokes? It looks like one of those.
National Lampoon, yeah, like Deep Roy and National Lampoon's Cougar Club.
He's in something called Paranormal Movie, which looks like a parody of Paranormal Activity.
All right,
whatever, you know what? He's got a great career.
Here's the big question: how old is Deep Roy?
That is a great question.
I'm going to take a guess.
He was born... You got to do some math. Or actually, I'm going to just Google how old he is.
I'm going to take a wild guess. Just pull it straight out of thin air. I'm going to say he is 68.
You are so close. He is 67.
Wow. We've played this game before. Why am I always like so... Why am I always so good at getting these? I don't get it.
His age...
It's like my dead zone.
His age on Wikipedia is different from his age on IMDb. In IMDb, it says he was born 1949. On Wikipedia, it says he was born 1957.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Who? What?
Deep Roy controversy.
Well, good for him. He's doing great. So what more is there to say about this movie? It's just a good movie. You know, it doesn't change the world. Have you seen that Dungeons & Dragons movie yet?
No, I haven't seen the Dungeons & Dragons movie from, like, the year 2000.
No, that's not what anyone's talking about.
With Marlon Wayans and Bruce Payne?
Yeah, no. I'm talking about the 2023 Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves.
No, but I heard that was, like, really fun.
It's delightful. It's got Chris Pine in it.
Yes.
Basically playing this Captain Kirk. He's basically doing that. He's doing this shtick. Mm-hmm. But in Dungeons and Dragons, and I saw it twice. I loved it. It was supposed to be the start of a series, and I think America was like, no, thank you. But I don't know why. It was fun as hell. I'd suggest it to anybody.
Didn't it come out? Did it come out COVID year though, or was that right before?
No, it's 2023.
Oh wow. Okay.
I want to look up what are the Rotten Tomato scores. All right, so Rotten Tomato for Star Trek 2009 is 94. Star Trek Into Darkness is 84%. Okay, we're moving.
Probably like 89 or something.
This is 86. Not bad. It's one of those movies that, like, I don't know. What were we doing in 2016? I guess we're all into Star Wars again.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been high time for that.
Yeah, I want more. I want more. Why not? I get. Well, I mean,
we still got three more seasons of Strange New World.
I know
people seem to think is like a bad thing because they announced it all at once, and we're like,
yeah,
like oh, they're canceling it. It's like no, they're telling you you're getting three more of these.
Right. Like yeah, the headlines were like canceled after five seasons, and then I'm like, but wait, isn't the third season the one that's about to air?
Yeah, third season's airing in like a week. Like,
so there's two more after that. So they're just telling you there's an ending.
Yeah,
there's the tragedy. Are shows supposed to go forever?
Right.
Five is perfect.
Five is. I was having this discussion with someone the other day. Like, what's your rubric? I'll throw that to you in a moment. But like, my rubric for like what's a successful series in terms of length is if you hit four seasons, that's like the bar. If you go past if you get to seven, to me, that's like a complete circle. Like you had a full lengthy lifespan of a run. And then anything after that is like, wow, you're like in goated territory. Like you are like something that you would hope would stand the test of time.
That's interesting. It depends, I think, maybe on the genre. I mean, I think of like Buffy, right? Buffy, I think, had seven seasons. The first three are great. The fourth one is awful. And then the last couple are very different, but interesting in their own way, but no one's favorite kind of thing. Although they were standout episodes. I think that, you know, the thing with I think shows is I think that's often you'll have a show that like whether they mean to or not, they hit a natural conclusion.
Yeah.
They hit a point where you're like, oh, this is over. And then they keep going. I was just talking to somebody about the show Shameless about this. Because Shameless went on, and there's even, like, the last couple seasons don't have Emmy Rossum in it, who was the protagonist of the first couple seasons. That show was so great and groundbreaking for, like, the first, like, three seasons, but it went on for, like, nine seasons. It went on and on. Like, the youngest character, like, the youngest kid, like, goes to the army. Like, it just keeps going and going and going. And it started to, like, basically repeat stories and shit. Like,
that's like, you know what series was on for like 18 seasons? Fucking Grey's Anatomy.
It's still on.
Yeah, it's like, I could swear, like I have like a vivid memory of, and I don't even watch Grey's Anatomy, but I remember there was a point where people were like five or six seasons in, like, oh yeah, no, this is the last season of Grey's Anatomy. And then they got like picked up for another one. It was like, oh, well, I guess it's not the end. And then it just kept going.
Yeah, it's kind of like ER in that way. That yeah, kept going and changing character. Okay, you know, yeah. Just change guys. I guess because it's procedural in a way, but I.
Oh yeah, like
Grey's Anatomy like Law and Order with like protagonist.
Yeah, like Law and Order SVU has been on for 26 years.
Right, longer than anybody would be a cop. Like, who would be on the job that long? That's insane.
Benson and Stabler would.
Right, retire already.
Mariska Hargitay was like as old as I am now when that show started. And now she's like in her 60s. Still looks amazing, but
oh, she does. You ever see her? Because she was in
Power Rangers.
Yes,
yes.
She was in the Power Rangers movie, and they cut her out and recast her with someone else.
How dare they?
I know she. I mean, look, I don't know how the performance was, but she looks great as that character.
Yeah.
What were they not liking about that?
From what I heard, because I don't know if you ever read the story about it. It seemed like she had like a scheduling conflict, and she insisted like. Oh. Well, no, I have to be back here on this day. And then they like changed the days on her. And she was like, well, I can't do that because I already told you. I'm like, I need to be here on this day. And they were like, well, fuck you. We're taking you out of the movie.
Oh, well, I'm looking at my notes. I wanted to mention this. There's an awesome shot where they're all the characters are getting on escape pods to leave the ship that's going down. And Kirk gets into an escape pod and we see like we stay with his point of view. Over his shoulder, and we see the bridge, but it's empty now, and his chair is empty. And then the shot continues, and he like flies out, and we see the air, and then we see the ship like crashing, all in one shot. It's a very cool image.
Yeah.
Which that's is like very not JJ, because JJ doesn't play things out. It's all cut, 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 cut.
Yeah, that's like the. In the pilot or the first episode of Deep Space Nine, they show the Battle of Wolf 359, and Sisko like has to leave his ship that's getting blown up by the Borg, and his wife dies, and it's him, and he grabs his son, gets in the, like, escape capsule, and they do the same thing, like, from his point of view. You see the capsule, like, shoot away from the ship, and you see the ship, like, going down and, like, blowing up in real time.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, that's what we have to do. I've gotta commit the time to watching some of the other series. It's the time commitment. It's not that I don't want to. It's like the also when it comes to Next Generation, some people will tell you like, oh, it doesn't get good for a while. And it's like, well, that's an investment. Do you disagree?
I disagree. Not as long as people say. Some people are like, oh, just start at season two or whatever. Like, I think there's some. Season one, I think you'll have entertainment value.
Okay.
It's not good. There are some good ideas in there, but you'll see how it evolves over time. I think it's important to still see that first season for what it is. I think there's entertainment value in like how sort of ham-fisted and like the bad ideas that are like honestly like a lot of Gene Roddenberry's ideas were not
right. Good. Did he work? Was that the last thing he worked on? The first season of. Yeah. Right. Because what happened? Is he fired or he dies?
No, he dies.
Dies. Okay.
And then like
movies, he was kind of kicked out of. Right.
Yeah, the movies he was like kicked out.
They're like, no, thank you, sir. This movie ends with a time lapse of them rebuilding the ship, and we hear the famous, you know, monologue, "Space, the Final Frontier," but every line is said by a different cast member, which I think is cool.
Yeah.
Vin, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for going on this journey with me. But it's not over. The human adventure is just beginning.
Yeah.
Vin,
we'll get to the series now.
Do you want to plug your Substack?
Yeah, sure. It's vinforte.substack.com. There's an article up right now about the lost Garfield Eurodance album. So go check that out.
Okay, wait. I've got some follow-ups. If you don't mind tipping it a little bit, what... Tell me a bit about the Garfield Eurodance.
It had a single called Cool Cat.
Of course.
I have my phone on me if you want to hear like
I don't want to hear it.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. Joke's on you because this album fucking slaps.
Where was it made?
In Sweden. And here's the thing. Outside of the title song, which doesn't even mention Garfield. It just has the words "cool cat" in it.
Okay,
yeah, he's the coolest cat in town, and he's a sweet temptation. all the songs on it are basically like traditional '90s Euro dance songs, like "oh, we're at a rave," or "we're, you know, I'm looking for my love," or like, you know, things like that. No mention of Garfield, so it's just like they put together this album, and like they were just like, "oh, how can we market this? We don't really have like recognizable names or whatever." So they were just like, "Well, we'll just tie it to Garfield." And the album was called "Keep Cool Cat."
Wow!
And
if you want to read more about that,
yeah, go subscribe. It's free. So vinforte.substack.com.
All right, Vin. We end every episode by saying,
"Well, bye bye."